Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Oh boy, I tell you what, we're going to try that again. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, I tell you, you know, sometimes, you know, it just helps to get involved. You know, these words that we get from the Bible, first of all, they're not, you know, my words and they're not my opinions. You know, my words and my opinions are basically worthless. The Word of God is what gives our words value. Amen. And we need to remember that the words that we get out of the Bible, they are a matter of life and death. Folks, please remember that when we attend church, you know, there's no special grace that comes upon us just because we're sitting in a church building. No special grace comes on us just because we hear, you know, the Bible being preached. The grace of God comes on us when we obey the Word of God, when we take, you know, a hold of these things and do them in our lives. Amen. Are you ready to be doers of the Word here today? Yeah, well, turn with me. Go over there in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. And today I'm going to call this message Powerful Endurance. Powerful Endurance. Folks, let's face it. Our society desires one thing most of all these days, and that is convenience. Our society desires convenience and ease and instant results. Our society, our culture wants things to be our way and no other way. We want everything to be user-friendly. We want everything to be fast. We want all of our life to change by just a click of a button. We want to get to the winner's circle without running the race, right? We know that our society wants comfort and convenience. We see we're living in a time where, you know, we as a society, you know, we are not, you know, preparing our own food even. We're eating out at restaurants at an all-time high. You know, if we're eating at home, we're eating boxed food, processed food, you know, bagged food, frozen food. How many of you know that many people in our culture, we're living on this comfort and this ease, and we don't even, you know, take the time to prepare our own food a lot of the times. We carry supercomputers in our pockets called smartphones. We have instant communication. We have instant information, you know, with us all the time. We don't even need to go through the process of getting in a book anymore. We don't need to look up anything in an encyclopedia anymore. We have GPS navigation in our pockets at all times. We don't even need to learn how to read a map anymore. We have a photo studio on our phone. We have an instant digital photo album on our phone. We don't even need real photo albums anymore. We don't even, you know, need to, you know, plan our own travel. The phone will do all these things for us. We don't send letters to anybody anymore. We don't put a stamp on an envelope very often. We just send text messages. And then we get mad when people don't respond to us as quickly as we think. I have to confess, that is absolutely a pet peeve of mine when someone texts me and I don't get back to them and they start texting me, "How come you're not responding? How come you're not getting back to me?" And I just want to, you know, say, well, guess what? My phone is not sewn into my arm yet, you know. And I mean, God forbid I actually was setting my phone down for an hour or two. You know, but we want instant communication. We want instant information. We have retail consumerism right there online in our phones. We get emails. We do all this stuff. We surf the internet. You know, our phones now have 200 and some gig of memory on them. I think some even probably have more than that now. Does anybody in here have a cell phone that has more than 256 gig? Oh, yeah, we got a couple. There we go. There's our techie guys right there, right? I mean, it's just amazing. Do you know that the computers that were used in the late 1960s to put a man on the moon, they were the size of this drum surround right up here, and they had 1 gig of memory in them. They had 1 gig, and yet we are carrying around supercomputers that are way, way more technical than anything we ever landed on the moon. Isn't that amazing? Because we want everything now. our whole society is designed to eliminate the process. Everything's designed to eliminate the process in order to have things fast, in order to have things quick, and to have them exactly the way we want them. The point that I'm making is that everything in our society seeks to eliminate any process of how something is done. It seeks to eliminate the process of anything that needs to be accomplished. We want instant gratification these days. We've been groomed for instant gratification. With each passing generation, we are more and more insistent on instant gratification. Someone's going to say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Things are easier now. All this technology, it's making life easier. It's making, you know, things, you know, more conducive to having more, you know, leisure time, you know, time off, you know, it's making life slower. Does anybody really believe that? Are all these gadgets, are they slowing life down at all? Are they making life easier at all? Or maybe they're actually just inspiring us to fill our lives with more things that have less value. That's what's happening in our society, all because we want to eliminate the process that it takes to actually get something in our lives. Folks, what is going on is that convenience has ultimately become very inconvenient in our society, right? It's easier. We think that the easier it is to get things, that the better we are. But the fact of the matter is, the easier it is to get things, the more shallow people are becoming. Well, I'm going to say that again. The easier it is to get things, the more shallow we become as a society. Each new generation has less and less endurance because they aren't going through a process it takes to accomplish something. Are you here today? It takes endurance, and it takes a process if you are going to follow God and His ways. So now you take all of this, you know, desire for convenience, you take all of this instant gratification, and you place it up against Christianity. Think about this. Why is each passing generation becoming more and more resistant to Jesus Christ? Think about it. Why is that happening? Because following Christ requires endurance. It requires a process. And these are the things exactly that we don't want to hear, but we have to remember there is no shortcut to blessing. There is no shortcut to God's harvest in your life. There is no shortcut to the glory of God and Him moving His blessings into your life. Are you here today? Amen. You know, these are things that we, you know, we don't like to hear. You can try to eliminate the process of cooking and traveling and all the hardships. Thank God for some modern conveniences. But when we've learned that we don't want the process that it takes to live a life of faith, then we are shortchanging what God wants to do in our lives. Folks, are you here today? I tell you what, I know we've got a nice full church, but how many of you know you can be here in body, but we got to be here in spirit as well? Amen. This is absolutely something that we all need to get a hold of. Have you found Hebrews chapter 6? All right, five of you have. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 7. We're going to start in verse 7. Usually I read the entire passage and then we go back. But I want to start by just going verse by verse. I want to teach you what the scripture is telling us here. We need to know and understand this. Now, I'm reading out of the King James Bible today. Sometimes that old English of the King James can be a little difficult to understand. And so I might just clean it up a little bit. We might even bring up a more modern translation so you can see it on the screen. But I will explain what the Bible is talking about here, and we really need to understand this in our heart. Folks, a lot of Christians are wanting to use their faith and instantly go right to the blessings of God. But folks, how many of you know there's an endurance phase of faith? There is a patience phase of faith. There is sometimes a trial phase of faith. There are times when you walk through the fire. There are times when things are not easy. And sometimes the devil's going to beat on you and tell you, well, things aren't easy. Your faith, you know, must not be working. But you need to understand, and I need to understand what the Bible is saying about the process of faith. Because there is a lot of plowing right now. There's a lot of effort that it takes to stay faithful to God in these days that we're living in. Are you here today? Amen. Say, Pastor, you've asked us that like 15 times. I'll probably ask you 15 more. Praise God. Look at verse 7. It says this. It says, for the earth. Everyone say earth. 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 Okay, now here in this passage, it's not talking about earth as a planet or earth as a whole. It's talking about ground. It's talking about soil. It's talking about dirt. All right. How many of you know you can say, you know, there's an earth mover. You know, there's a piece of equipment that's an earth mover. That just means it pushes dirt around like a bulldozer, all right? And so isn't God good just to use simple illustrations with us? You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he used birds. You know, he used flowers. He used trees. You know, he used a lot of simple illustrations. Now he's using dirt as an illustration. You know, isn't God good to make sure that all of us without an edumacation can know and understand what he's trying to say? I think all of us can relate to dirt. We know what it is. For the dirt or the soil which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it. Isn't that what happens? Rain falls upon the dirt soaks it up and brings forth herbs, that means vegetation, that is useful for them by whom it is dressed or worked, receives blessing from God. So we see this, you know, very simple process. We are very familiar. Rain falls from the sky, the dirt soaks it up, people work the ground, and useful vegetation grows for food and trees and all that good stuff, right? And then the Bible says that land or that earth or that piece of land is now a blessing from God, or literally means it produces abundance because God designed the system to work that way. God has designed a system that will work for our benefit. It'll bless our lives. God wants to bless us. He wants us to know and understand the system that we're living in that he created so that we can benefit from it. All right, and we need to know and understand this. Blessing is the result of the process that God puts in place. You know, when we hear that rain falls, the ground soaks it up, man works the ground, and a whole bunch of good blessings come out of it. Isn't that very simple? But folks, think about it. Do we have any farmers here today? Anybody that works in the farming or agricultural, any agricultural folks? Well, praise the Lord. All right, no farmers here. We've had farmers before. But we know this. We're very familiar with this process, all right? And we hear that, you know, rain and work in the ground and good things grow. How many of you know, though, in that scripture, what it just described, there is a ton of effort that it takes to produce a harvest over the course of several seasons, and there is a whole year of work mentioned in that one verse. What does this, God will tell us this. He will simply put a one-year process in just a couple of sentences. He'll describe it, but what does it actually feel like and what does it look like for someone to experience growing a harvest off the land? It's a ton of work, right? Right here in this verse, God's just casually mentioning what it takes to produce a harvest off a piece of land. But think about it. What has to happen in order for someone to, you know, clear that land? They have to pull stumps. They got to cut down trees. They got to remove the rocks. And then they've got to break the ground. Then they've got to till the ground. Then they've got to dig irrigation to water the ground. And then they've got to plant seeds. Then they've got to tend to that. And then they've got to harvest the crop. Folks, how many of you know that that is hundreds of hours of intense labor in order to get to the end of the process, which produces blessing for me and you. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. Do you see what we're getting at here? There is a process. But see, we as believers, we want to go to the end of that verse where it says receiving the blessings of God. But do you know that there is a process in between? And that's what we're going to talk about here today. This verse puts it in a very simple way, but we know what it actually looks like. Someone had to clear the land, tear out the stumps, remove the rocks, break the ground, fertilize the ground, plant the crops, dig irrigation, tend to the crops, harvest the crops. And then when somebody finishes this process, guess what? It starts over right from the beginning, all over again. How many of you know you don't just raise one harvest for 1 year? How many of you know you've got to fulfill that process year in, year out? All right. Stay with me because there's a point that's being made here. I'm just going to go ahead and end the suspense right now. The scripture is making a metaphor for your life and for my life. The soil that God is talking about here, it isn't so much about the ground specifically. It's about the soil of our heart. It is about the strength of our decisions and what God wants to move into our lives. Amen. But this scripture is using months of effort and process to illustrate what God wants to do in our lives. How many of you know a farmer has to endure that process? How many of you know there's times he's out there, he's sweating hard, working hard? How many of you know there's times when those stumps are stubborn? How many of you know the ground is hard and it has to be broken? Sometimes his equipment breaks and he's got to fix that. How many of you know that there's a downright fight at times to get to a place where you're at the end of the process where the blessing starts to show up? Folks, think about it. In this process of faith, where and what part of this season are you in? You may be, like many Christians across our nation, you may be in a very tough spot right now. You might be in a tough spot financially. You might be in a tough spot, you know, maritally. You might be in a tough spot, you know, raising kids. You might be in a tough spot in your job or your business or whatever it is. You know, you might be, you know, going through a rough time with you know, people not getting along with you or whatever it is. Folks, just because you're in a tough ground right now doesn't mean that your faith isn't working. That farmer doesn't say, well, this process isn't working just because it gets hard. He says, if I endure this, if I understand that this is just part of the season, if I will stay put in what God would have me to do, at the end of this season, there is going to come refreshing. There is going to come provision. There is going to come all that you need in the blessing and the promise of God. So many times Christians, they learn that it takes endurance to follow Christ and they want to give up. They want to leave the process. Can we go over there to James 1:2? Can we bring that up? I wasn't even planning on going here. Praise the Lord. Go over to James chapter 1 in verse 2. Folks, there's something in the process that you and I need. Amen. Yeah. Christians don't understand sometimes the ideas of process and seasons. Folks, if you might be in a time of plowing in your faith, don't let the devil beat you up and say, hey, this is hard. You must be failing. The devil's going to want you to give up on that phase of the process because he wants to stop the harvest in your life before it ever has a chance to even get to you. And when I'm talking about harvest, I'm not talking about, you know, just financial blessing. I'm talking about all that God has for you in your life. So many Christians, they come up against tough times and they think, well, my faith isn't working. But if a farmer thought that way, if they came across stubborn ground or, you know, that process when it's all that work and effort, if they gave up at that time, all of us would be in a tough spot, wouldn't we? Because we all are living off the blessings of their work. Folks, God wants to move something into your life. But just because the body of Christ is in a very tough season right now, There's a lot of people going through trials in their bodies. A lot of people going through trials, you know, in their minds with depression and anxiety. There's a lot of people going through trials, you know, financially or what have you. Do not give up on the process. Because if you will endure to the end, God is going to absolutely provide for you. He's going to bring you into a better season. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's absolutely true. Christians sometimes don't understand the powerful endurance that is required to obey Christ. I'm going to give you a definition for endurance. Are you ready? All right. We got the cheering section over here. They're ready. Praise the Lord. Endurance simply means this. It means the power to withstand a difficult process to the end. That's why it's called endurance, right? It is withstanding a difficult process all the way to the end. Jesus said, "Those that endure to the end shall be saved." Our society does not like endurance. You know, does not like to hear that there's actually going to be an endurance phase to faith. Oh, boy. Well, now we understand why it's so quiet in here today. Preaching something that folks don't want to hear. You know, when I say it's difficult, you know, I'm talking about it's difficult on our flesh and in our minds. But Jesus said this. He said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Obviously, it wasn't light on his flesh. He was crucified on a cross. He's talking about in my spirit, because I was in faith, in fellowship with God, that the Holy Spirit helped me to live this life as if it was light and easy. Folks, just because you're being tested in this life does not mean that we've got to be burdened. It doesn't mean that we have to lose our joy. It doesn't mean that we have to complain. It doesn't mean that we have to think that everything is rotten. Amen. Look at what it says over here in James 1:2. Praise the Lord. Maybe this is a great verse here today. "My brethren, count it all joy." Everyone say joy. Some of you said joy. You know, the Bible says that joy is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, joy is already there. Some of you just might be ignoring it here today. Don't ignore that joy. The Bible says you're going to have to count it all joy. See, joy is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, it doesn't say feel it all joy. Doesn't mean it's always going to feel like joy. The Bible says you've got to count it joy. Even when it looks bad, feels bad, is tough, and it requires endurance. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. That word temptation there, it doesn't mean just a temptation to sin. It means to be tried or tested. One of the more interesting definition of temptation, it means to be exposed to suffering. Exposed to suffering. Well, I tell you what, we'd rather just skip these verses in the Bible. Folks, the whole world is going to be exposed to suffering. It is right now. You know, whether you like, you know, if you're celebrating the results of an election, if you like that, if you didn't, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, you know, regardless of what's going on in the political realm, we're going to need to learn how to count it joy. Because what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? Christians are so much living on their emotions. They're living on their feelings. But the Bible says count it all joy. Count it a good thing. Why would the Bible say count it joy when you go through trials? Because there's something you and I need in that process. We need something in that process. There's something that we need to learn. There's something for us about our future in what we're going through right now. The body of Christ is, you know, I'll be honest, in this nation, the body of Christ is complaining. The body of Christ is disgruntled. Where's God? Why are things tough? I'll tell you what, just because gas got expenses, I'll tell you what, that's a first world problem, folks. You know, just because, you know, things have gotten expensive, I understand that's tough. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't compare to the sufferings that some Christians in the past went through. I mean, if we look at the history of Christian martyrdom over the last 2,000 years, I'm here to tell you we have it so good in this nation, and maybe we could say it this way, we have it too good in this nation. Not that God wants us to suffer. He's not the author of suffering. He just knows that suffering is very prevalent on this planet that we live on. He knows you're going to be exposed to suffering. You know, and these faith people that'll say, well, we're never exposed to suffering on this earth because we have faith. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie. Of course, God is the one that's going to carry us through. But when they say you'll never, be tested with or exposed to some kind of suffering in this life, whether it's extreme or not, I'm just here to tell you it is. It does come to all of us. And the Bible tells us what to do. Count it all joy. That doesn't mean we're inviting it. That doesn't mean we long for it. We're just saying that we're all going to face a challenge at some point or another. Count it all joy. What are you going to do when you cannot feel the joy? You're going to endure. Say, Pastor, I don't want to hear about endurance. Endurance means to withstand a difficult process. The word patience in the New Testament literally translates cheerful endurance. I don't see a lot of cheer on Christians' faces these days. But I tell you what, it's supposed to be there. Can you bring up, go ahead, throw up this verse. It's playing on the inside of me. I wasn't planning on sharing it. Where is that? John 16:33, or is it verse 32? Go over to John 16:33. Can you bring that up? Jesus speaking right here. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you would have what? Peace. Jesus says, I spoke my word to you that you would always remain in peace regardless of what's going on around you. And he says this, in the world, everyone say in the world. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Why did Jesus tell us that? Because he was warning us. It's coming. You can have all the faith in the world. Some kind of tribulation shows up for us all. All right. Amen. In the world, you shall have tribulation. What are the next five words there? But be of good cheer. Boy, you're really just overwhelming me with your good cheer here today, right? In the world, you will have troubles and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All the pressure that I feel you going through today, all the troubles that I see that you're facing, whether in your marriage, in your business, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, remember, we're on a shared feeling system with our high priest. He feels every pressure you're going through. He's already been through more pressures than you and I will ever face. He said, this world's going to test you. It's going to try to trouble you. He said, but I've spoken words to you that you will stay in peace. He says, be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world for you. Amen. Count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. Go back to James 1:2. Why do we count it all joy? There's something in the process that we need to get. James 1:2, please. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations or exposed to suffering, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Oh, we don't want to hear this. It's like that farmer in that field who's busting up very stubborn ground, who's working hard to get that ground ready and prepared. How many of you know it is a trial of his efforts? How many of you know the Christian church in America is going through a trial of their efforts? Because it does not feel fun always to put God first. It's not a dirge. It should be a joy. I'm just here to tell you, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? Oh, boy. Folks, get involved with the Word of God. Get involved with the Word of God. God loves you. He's helping you here today. He's trying to get you to understand, don't be discouraged and dismayed because things feel hard on you right now. Don't be dismissed or be discouraged because you are in a part of the process that is the more difficult process. Don't feel like a failure because things got hard on you. Don't feel that a good season isn't going to come your way. Don't feel that there's not blessing at the end of this process. I'll tell you what, when things get as difficult as they are on people right now, I'll tell you what, that just means a brighter day is coming down the road. That just says that God's going to show up. The Bible says where sin abound, God's grace does much more abound. Amen. And I'm telling you, we better put aside the sad faces and we better pick up the glad faces. We better put down the complaining. We better pick up the rejoicing. Amen. Because it takes no faith to rejoice when everything feels good, looks good, or goes your way. It takes faith to rejoice when you're in the midst of the fire. It takes, you know, absolute faith to rejoice when things feel tough on you. That's why Isaiah 61 tells us, it says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. I'll tell you what, if you're serving God and you're dragging through this life, some Christians, they get the Eeyore complex. You know who Eeyore is? And I've said this many times before. Remember who Eeyore is? Eeyore is that grumpy, manic, depressive little donkey that hangs out with Winnie the Pooh. And I heard, see, when I was a kid, Eeyore was really depressed. I mean, I don't think that donkey ever saw a bright day. I don't think he ever thought anything good was ever going to happen. But then they decided to, in the newer generations, they decided to cheer up Eeyore a little bit. They had to cheer him up because he was bringing kids down. Don't let some little sad-faced donkey bring you down. Yeah, don't quote me on that one. You know, but I mean, that Eeyore complex, a lot of, you know, Christians, they start to act like that. They start to drag. They start to act sad. You know, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to rejoice. Don't sit there, oh, woe is me. Coming to church and not enjoying this. Don't want to listen to this. Don't want to hear it. Folks, I know I'm working on you hard here today. Say, Pastor, endure to the end of the process. I'm just trying to endure to the end of this service. Trying to just get past the stuff you're saying. God loves you. He's telling you, don't quit. I've got something good for you. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean don't quit? Well, look at the full church. I'm not talking about this church specifically. I'm just talking in general. What you're facing, because that devil, he's a liar, and he's out trying to get you to start to believe that the ground is too tough to plow. He is trying to tell you that tomorrow is never going to come. The blessing is never going to show up. Harvest is a moot point, and you might as well just quit now. That's what the devil's trying to tell you. And I'm here to say to you today that God is not giving up on you, so don't give up on him. There's no shortcut to this process. The trial of your faith works patience. Now we know what God's after. I'm going to say something that's going to really upset somebody, because if you mistake what I'm about to say, if I haven't made you mad already, some of you started laughing before I even told you yet because you're like, you're already making me mad. All right? How do I word this? God is not moved by your trial. Now, let me, the Bible says that he's touched with the feeling of it. He cares. Don't misunderstand me. But God does not sit on the throne. The Father does not get up and pace the floor because you're going through a problem. God doesn't leave the throne at all. He stays right there for you and I to show himself strong on behalf of those that will, with a perfect heart, who will serve him. But what I'm trying to say is God is not moved, meaning God does not worry for us. Do you know that? He's not worried about what you're going through. You know why? Well, first of all, he doesn't do that. It's wrong. God is a faith God. God isn't in worry at all. But I'm here to tell you, he knows that if you will just see the process through, if you will learn what you need to learn, if you will do what the Bible says, that thing will lift and a more glorious day will show up for you. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Notice God is more interested in your patience or your response to the problem than he is in the problem itself. God's not moved by your problem, so to speak. He's not sitting there wondering, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? He's not sitting there thinking, oh man, I'm worried about that. He's sitting there looking and he says, yeah, okay, I see them. They're in the fire. They're in the trial. They're going through a tough time. Let's see if they will have cheerful endurance. The word patience here is the word cheerful endurance. Will they decide to rejoice when the weight is upon them? Will they rejoice their way through the pressure that they're facing? Are they going to trust and believe me, or are they going to trust and disbelieve their emotions or their feelings? Are they going to act on what they believe or just act on what they feel? A lot of Christians are just acting on what they feel. Woo! Praise the Lord. Man, let's get the veterans back up here. Right? We'll cheer for that, as we should. We love our veterans. Anyone else in here love our country? Yeah, woo! Who loves Jesus in here? Boy, there's a little less, you know. You love your country? Woo! Love Jesus? Yeah. Should be the, you know. We should be as quick to love our Lord and Savior. We should love him more. I'll tell you what. Praise God for these United States of America. I believe in patriotism. I believe in nationalism. I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. But I'll tell you what, the word surpasses it all. The United States of America will come and go. You know that, right? We're just making sure it doesn't go on our watch. That's what we're making sure of. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. God's not looking at your problem as much as he's looking at what you are responding to your problem. Can you bring up 1 Peter 1:7? I'm off the notes. The notes lasted for the first 5 minutes. That the trial of your faith, these are just verses that the Lord's giving me as I preach. Anyone going or been through a trial of your faith? What does that mean? Your faith will be tested. It will be. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. God says your faith is the most valuable thing you have. It's worth more to God than anything you've ever owned. It's more important to God than any of the issues you'll ever face. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though gold is tried with fire. There's one thing that gold and your faith has in common. They both have to go through the flames. They got to face the heat. I tell you what, I can tell. I feel the pressure that people are going through. The gold and your faith will be tried with fire, that your faith would be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appears, he is not going to come up to you and ask you how that situation turned out. He's going to come up and ask you the same thing that he did with those disciples that were on that boat and it was sinking over there in Mark chapter 4. He said, where is your faith? The boat was sinking underneath them and Jesus wanted to see how they were going to respond. God did not sink that boat. God did not put a hole in that boat. God did not fill the boat with water, with the waves or the wind. That was a trial in the world. They were facing that struggle. But Jesus, when they all came to him and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stood up and said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? See, the trial of your faith. How many of you know gold is purified through fire? See, this is the process. That farmer is really going through it when the ground is tough, when he's digging up all the dirt and has to do all that work. His body, you know, his time, you know, he's going through the fire, so to speak. But at the end of it, something is going to grow that's going to bless his life. See, folks, now is when it matters the most to be faithful to God. Now is when it is the most important time. Anybody can rejoice when everything is looking great. Anyone can rejoice when the money's coming in or their body's completely healthy or their mind is completely free. I'm here to tell you, it's easy to rejoice in the good times. But what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What are you going to do when your faith is going through the fire? What are you going to do when you and your spouse aren't getting along? What are you going to do when it doesn't seem to be enough money is coming in? What are you going to do when it seems like your project or your business is not working? You know, what are you going to do when your job is lost? What are you going to do when your siblings or your parents or someone in the extended family is mad at you or whatever? What are you going to do? Are you here today? You're going to stay faithful. Amen. Endurance is the ability to withstand a difficult process all the way to the end. Go back over to Hebrews chapter 6. I've only preached on one of 12 verses so far. Pastor, don't do this to us. Oh, here we go. Trying to help you. See, what do you take from a message like this? You take it and you say, all right, I'm going through pressure. I'm going through a tough time. But we have promise. We have the knowledge that blessing, joy is coming in the morning. Blessing is on its way. The season's going to change. God is going to show up. I'm going to endure to the end. He's so good. Praise the Lord. Say, Pastor, you're just preaching this because you're not going through anything tough. You have no clue. And you know what? You'll never know. And I don't say that because out of pride, but that is my goal. My goal is to walk with the Lord, whether I'm going through the hardest moment of my life right now or the best moment of my life right now. I hope I'm the same in both. Because faith should look the same regardless of the circumstances around your life. Oh, boy, that really went over well. Glory to God. Go to Hebrews 6:8. The very next verse, he says, in verse 8, we're back here to our main passage in Hebrews 6. Go over to verse 8. And now remember, in verse 7, he's talking about the ground that receives the rain, and people work the ground, and then blessing comes. And then he says, but that which bears thorns, he's talking about, but other ground or other soil, excuse me, that bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Pastor, you're preaching a tough service as it is, and then you read this verse? Does that verse really mean what we think it means? Yes, it means even more than what we think it means. This is talking about people who choose not to endure the process described in verse 7. But those that bring forth thorns and briars are rejected, and they are nigh unto cursing or to the curse, whose end is to be burned. God is telling us that there's blessing upon soil that produces good fruit. But those that allow briars, those that allow thorns to grow in their life, meaning talking about bringing forth bad things, things that we shouldn't do, letting go of the process. The soil that bears thorns and briar patches is rejected and burned. People don't want to hear that in these days of Christianity. You mean, Pastor, is it possible for somebody who once served Christ, but all of a sudden they turn to sin and they start producing briars and thorns in their life and they're not following through, they're not enduring? Could they put their soul at risk? Yes, absolutely, 100%. No one wants to hear that these days. We just think, oh man, give me a little prayer. Let me just get a little Jesus, but I'm going to go about and just live my life the way I want it to. You can try to pray a little prayer and accept Jesus and then turn to a life of sin and produce briars and thorns. You will be rejected. There is a process that God demands. A farmer can't just go out there to an unprepared field and just chuck a bunch of seed on the ground and hope something works. He's got to follow that process. Folks, there is endurance and there is a process of faith that every believer has to stick to for their entire life as a Christian. Are you here today? Say, well, Pastor, it would be a lot easier if you didn't show us this. No, it's a lot easier for me to show you this. It's better to make changes and corrections now than to go through a life not knowing that, not heeding the warning. You know what it's like, you know, to be a pastor, you know, it would be so much easier to get up here and just go to a flowery message and just wind everybody up and make everybody laugh and you know, leave and feel like they, you know, just, it was just a good, you know, a time where, you know, it just felt like, you know, flowery, sugary coated message and all that stuff. But folks, if you're looking for a sugar coated message from the Bible, you are not going to get it from me. Of course, there's going to be encouragement at times and blessing, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying we cannot just pick the good that we like and reject the parts that we don't. God is warning us, just like a field that bears thorns and briars will be rejected and burned, so will God's people who ignore this message. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Soil that bears thorns and briar patches is rejected and burned. Because why? What happened to this? Up in verse 7, it talked about a field that brought forth useful vegetation. It brought forth fruit. Why did this piece of ground now bring forth briars and thorns? It's really simple. Because it wasn't put through the process. Someone at some point gave up on that land. They didn't break up the ground. They didn't sow the seed. They didn't endure to the end to have the harvest and the blessing. Are you here today? Pastor, that's probably number 22 that you've asked us if we're here today. I'm going to probably go for like 40 or so. Someone didn't prepare the ground. Someone gave up on that land. Nobody endured over that piece of soil. They gave up and they let the wrong things creep in and take over in their lives. How many of you know it's easy to let something creep in and take over that it shouldn't be in your life? Yes. Folks, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Say yes. Amen. Folks, this is what God is telling us. Don't give up. Don't give in to the pressure. Don't let wrong lifestyles creep in. Don't let wrong entertainment creep in. Don't let, you know, fighting and strife creep in. Don't let these things get in and control your life. Don't let the wrong relationships come into your life and pull you away from the process that God has for you. Be careful about people that you bring into your personal confidence that all of a sudden, you know, they want to pull you away from God. They want to move you in a direction that isn't, you know, God's plan for your life. They're just trying to pull you out of that process like a farmer who would give up while he's in the middle of breaking up that ground. Follow it through to the end. Because at the end, there's blessing. At the end is God moving in your life. God is not looking at the pressure on you as much as he's looking to see how you respond. What we do during these times is what's going to determine our future. We're in Hebrews chapter 6. Real quickly, you don't need to turn there. Can you go back over to James 1:3? I got to show you this. God's trying to do something here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Everyone say patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. You've got to go through this process. The good thing about the trial in your life right now is it's giving you an opportunity to learn patience. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, that means whole, lacking nothing. How many of you want to lack nothing? Yes. How many of you want the word perfect? It means mature or fully formed in Christ. Sometimes to be fully formed in Christ, you're going to walk through something that doesn't feel good, right? But the trial of your faith is working that patience. I'm here to tell a lot of you. I could meet with so many people in individual counseling appointments. I'm just going to clean it all up right here, right now. You're in a time of the trial of your faith. You're in a time right now where your reactions matter the most. You're in a time where you are supposed to be working that patience, that cheerful endurance. Because in your future, God has something to bring into your life that's going to cause you to lack nothing. But if you give up on that process right now, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Why? You don't want to miss out on verse 5. Look at verse 5. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? I love James 1:5 in the Amplified. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives. Don't you love that God is a giving God? He gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. God is knowing that if you will respond in faith, you know, if you will respond in patience, he's going to be able to give wisdom into your life. Remember what the Bible says about wisdom, right? In her right hand is length of days, and in her left hand is riches and honor. God needs us to get that wisdom. This process that we're in right now, it has value. Actually, the process is what gives something its value. Why is gold so valuable? It's rare because of the process it went through in the earth, going through the heat and so on. You know, it's that same way with us. This process is very valuable because it is working on our faith. When Jesus appears, he wants to see our faith and how we're responding. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 9, we're back in Hebrews 6 and verse 9. God's got something for your future. Cheerful endurance. Your patience is going to bring it or not. Now, here we go. It says, but beloved, we're back over here in Hebrews 6, 9. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that what? Accompany salvation. Boy, that really excited us. Folks, how many of you know that there's supposed to be things that accompany salvation? Meaning, the Bible's trying to tell us, if these things don't accompany salvation, they're not. That's hard to say. Here you go. Things that accompany salvation. If these things don't accompany salvation, then maybe salvation is not present. Now, of course, we aren't able to judge that of anybody, but God certainly knows. We have to judge ourselves. We're not judging other people. It says, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. What will be very evident in the life of a believer where salvation is living deep in their heart? They will be willing to go through this process. Salvation will always create endurance in a believer. Do you have the endurance? Have you made up your mind right here, right now, that no matter what comes our way, no matter, you know, what the world throws at us, no matter what's going on in our personal lives, we have decided to endure for Jesus Christ no matter what it takes? Yes. Amen. Have you made that decision? You got to choose before it shows up. You got to choose ahead of time and make sure you've decided, I'm going to have things that accompany salvation. And the first thing that accompanies salvation is a decision or a determination to endure for Jesus. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. The desire to be faithful even when the season is hard, even when the soil is filled with stumps and rocks and roots. You keep working for God. Yes. When salvation dwells in your heart, you aren't afraid of the process. You endure the process. You press forward in the process. Amen. Now, we're going to get ready to end right here. Now, go down to verse 11. It says this, actually verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. A labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister. Do you see these things that accompany salvation? Do you see them? All right. Number one, here are just four quick things that accompany salvation. I see many of you taking notes. Here you go. Number one that'll accompany salvation is endurance. Two, there will be a labor of love for God in the life of someone who's born again. A labor of love. Meaning they'll love to serve God. They'll put effort towards the things of God. Here's a third thing. Labor for the name of God. They will want to serve. They will want to serve God's people. And number four, minister to God's people. Amen. When salvation dwells in your heart, you don't resent God's people. You want to serve God's people. Well, praise the Lord. And now we're going to simply end in verse 12. It says, in verse 12, it says, that you be not slothful. What does that mean? Don't be spiritually lazy. Folks, there is an assault on the body of Christ in the church today to be spiritually lazy. Let's break out of that. Who's going to decide to say, you know what? I'm not going to be this way anymore. I'm not going to be lazy with God anymore. I'm not going to be lazy in my prayer life anymore. I'm not going to be lazy in my word life with God anymore. I'm not going to be lazy in my church life. Oh, praise the Lord. Who in this generation is going to decide not to be spiritually lazy? I'm not calling you lazy. I'm not calling me lazy. I'm just trying to wind us all up. Make sure we understand, wait a minute, we've got to confront ourselves. Has anyone ever caught yourself being spiritually lazy before? Okay, we got 20 honest people in the place. Glory to God. Have you ever found yourself being spiritually lazy? Here's the more important question. Has spiritual laziness ever disgusted you? Have you ever felt disgusted in your heart over your own spiritual laziness? Has anybody? That's what the Bible calls godly sorrow. That's a good thing. And sometimes when we feel that disgust, it's not God trying to hate on us or anything like that. That is just a reminder that we love God enough that it hurts us when we're not doing our part. And it's a great reminder to get us moving. Sometimes the only thing that's going to motivate us in this life to do something is when we're disgusted that we're not doing it. Amen. That's right. And then in verse 11, he says, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not spiritually lazy, but followers of them who through faith and what? Faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. We want to go straight to the promises. We want to go straight to the blessing. We want to go straight to the glory. We want to go straight to the winner's circle. But we don't want to run the marathon. Folks, don't be like those that just expect God to move on their own time. Don't be like those that just expect God to move now. I want this, I want that. If I go through any kind of test or trial, then I'm just going to give up on it. That's what Jesus called the rocky soil. He said, yeah, you're excited about the things of God at first. He says, but when trials and tribulations arise for the word's sake, they give up because they have no root in themselves. They have no depth. Folks, you're going to be tested. Your faith is going through a test. I'm here to tell you there's a process. And if you're in the middle of the process, if you keep on plowing, don't let the devil tell you that you're losing if it just feels tough. Just because life might be tough on you, life might be tough on me, I'm not losing because I'm not quitting. Amen. I still plow through. I'm still going to rejoice. I'm getting into the Word of God. I am throwing off spiritual laziness. I'm just talking proverbially now. You know, we're throwing that off. You know, and as we do, even though it feels tough, the devil's going to say, look how tough it is. If you were really in faith, it wouldn't feel this tough. If you were really in faith, these things wouldn't have happened. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I'll tell you what, when there's pressure on you, and I look out and I see so many faithful people of God, when there's pressure on you, a lot of times it's an indication that you're doing things right. You're doing things right, and the devil's just trying to convince you to give up before that blessing shows up. There are three phases of faith. And this would be a good place to start next week. Because if I get into three phases of faith right now, I'll keep you long past where we are now. And we don't need to do that. Folks, powerful endurance. Don't resent the time that it seems tough. Actually, these times are necessary to learn and to work patience. Let patience have her perfect. You know, what if a farmer said, you know what, I hate waiting. What if a farmer says, I just refuse to wait. Well, see, he could do all that work and all that planning, and then guess what he has to do? He has to sit and wait, sit and wait, sit and wait, and just trust that something is growing under that ground that he cannot see. Folks, a lot of times we in our faith, we got to just trust God is moving even in a place that we cannot see. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you just keep moving forward, I'm here to tell you today, God is moving in a place you cannot see here today. And the devil is lying to you with that pressure. Go home. Fix your marriage. Go home and raise your kids and tell them, you know, about how to serve God faithfully. Go home and reckon with yourself and see if you've been spiritually lazy. Reckon with yourself. Change it. If there's something in the Word that you're not doing, reckon with yourself. Start obeying. I'll tell you what. You know, praise God, we've got some changes, you know, coming to this nation. There's some good things. But I'll tell you what, there's also some shaking coming. And if you, and if me and you, not just you, and I say that, it's not an indictment of you, it's just all of us in general. If we don't know how to handle it now, how could we handle a true shaking in this world? There was times in our past, in our nation, where our nation was shook. World War II comes to mind. Many times. You know, the race riots of the 60s and beyond, and we've seen, you know, troubled times in this nation. You know, I'm just saying, if we can't handle this level, how would we ever really handle something really major in the world? Folks, I know the devil would love to tell us that your problems are the biggest problems that anyone's ever faced, but God's not even looking at your problem. He's looking at your patience. He's looking to see how you respond with what you're going through right now. Did you get some help here today? Yes. Amen. Folks, keep on going. Keep on going. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We glorify you. Lord, you said to count it all joy. I'm glad you didn't say feel it all joy. Because things that we face don't always feel good. It doesn't matter. Joy is still living on the inside of us. Lord, you said that there's a process. Just like rain falls to the ground and that soil soaks up that water and people work the land and things grow in the same way. Our life will go through that process. We'll have rain fall upon us, so to speak. You'll sow your word into us. We prepare the soil of our heart. We work on our character. We work on our godliness. We work on these things. And over time, blessing shows up. But if we reject the process, if we give up when things feel tough, if we let go of it before the harvest, we will miss out on all that God has for us. Father, you are so faithful. We don't want to bring forth briars and thorns. We want to bring forth good fruit. We want to count it all joy when we face trials and temptations, knowing that the trial of our faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be mature, whole, lacking nothing. Lord, we ask ourselves this all the time around here. What are we going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What are we going to do? We're going to dig into the Word. We're going to rejoice, not complain. We're going to press forward. We're not going backward. Father, you are so faithful and so good. Thank you, Lord. And just because we're feeling the test doesn't mean you're failing the test. Thank you, Lord God. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Everyone ask yourself this question right now. Am I saved? Have I made Jesus my Lord and Savior? It's not Family Church's idea. It's God's plan. I'm just the messenger here today. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to die on that cross to pay for the sins that you and I committed. Jesus Christ was taking the punishment that we deserved. He died and rose again so that God would not have to judge us if we would simply put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Folks, you're not signing up for this church or signing up for anything here. But if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. With an uplifted hand, you're just simply saying, God, I need Jesus. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. With an uplifted hand, you're just saying that you want your sins to be forgiven. You want to have a new life with God. If that's you, could you just lift your hand right now for 1 second? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want my sins forgiven and washed and cleansed. Just let the Lord see you. Can you lift your hand for just a second or two? Take that step towards God. Anybody else before we pray? Let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray these words. Mean it with your heart. Speak to God. He will hear you. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Everybody in this room, pray this prayer with me and mean it with your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, even if you didn't like it, right? It still helps us. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's rejoice and be glad, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just bless you today. We glorify you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are always helping us. You are always there, and you never forsake us. And Lord, we just say that your blessing rests upon each one here today. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen.